I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. My colleagues, Bill Raggio and Tom Justin of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, they are senior fellows, here to help us remember, casting our mind all the way back into the fog of the election of 2020. Bill, you and Tom very carefully explicated on this show often that the claim that the Russians were paying the Taliban, paying them to attack American soldiers, didn't make any sense. Bill, let's start with, do you need to tell the Taliban we'll pay you $100 if you kill an American? Is that the Taliban?
Well, John, so there have been reports of the Taliban taking bounties. There have been credible reports of this. However, it wasn't from Russia. The word came out that that report that everyone leaned on and used against President Trump is just more evidence that he was supposedly in league with Russia because he ignores the intelligence. Well, that winds up being low to moderate intelligence, but we have very good intelligence, and this shows up in the WikiLeaks documents, in news reports, in various other places, that the Iranians were actually giving the Taliban money for bounties against U.S. soldiers and whatnot. The Taliban don't need that in order to conduct these attacks, but it'll happily accept money to fund its operations, and that's really what it was. The Iranians were basically giving incentive for the Taliban to conduct additional attacks against the Americans, but it's not required. But so that's not a reason that the Russian story didn't make sense. There's a lot of reasons that it was obviously a very political story. For one, the timing during elections, but there was just no incidents that could actually be tied for these attacks. So it was very vague information that came out. If the Russians want the United States to leave Afghanistan, the best thing they would do is to just let things play out. It didn't make sense that the Russians needed to pay the Taliban to conduct attacks and kill Americans. And, there's a lot of bad history between the Taliban and what used to be, the Mujahideen, many of whom have become the Taliban, and the Russians, given the Soviet war. So I there's a lot to this story that just didn't make sense. Shockingly, it winds up being a big nothing burger. And, and also shockingly, the press sort of let this one go by. There's no accountability for throwing bombs like this. And then, they walk away and go, oh, well, we might have got that story a little bit wrong, but who cares? Let's move on to the next story that we'll get wrong, and then we'll pretend like we don't care about it.
Tom, you're reporting April 8th, 2019, a bombing at Bagram Air Base. Three Marines are killed, several wounded. That specifically was mentioned, I'm following your reporting, in the original allegation that the Russians were hiring the Taliban to kill Americans. You examine that in your essay and say it doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense then, doesn't make any sense now. Now, it's possible this was a gambit, a political gambit during the campaign of 2020. It's also possible that we need to solve this because this will come again. Do we know who was the source of this information? Was it the Russians, the Taliban? Do we know anything, Tom?
I mean, we know – look, I would say when you look at this story, what you have to realize is it's not that there wasn't any intelligence here. There was some intelligence that a unit affiliated with the GRU, Russian military intelligence, did offer some sort of bounties or payments to, Taliban-affiliated actors in Afghanistan. But if you think about it as a chain, a link in the chain where, you have this sort of offer of some sort of cash payments, you then have to show that the cash actually was transferred, and they showed some cash was transferred. But then you have to link it back to the third link is link it to actual attacks. And the first thing that we noticed when the reporting came out was that was a particularly weak link in the chain, which is they couldn't really say with certainty that this led to any specific attacks. Now, one of the attacks that they said was a possible attack was this April 8th, 2019 suicide bombing at Bagram Air Base. But Bill and I have been covering the Taliban's attacks on Bagram for years. I mean, you can go back with similar attacks all the way back to 2007 or even earlier. During a 2007 attack, Vice President Cheney was actually there, and that attack was very similar to this one in 2019 that supposedly was the Russians doing. And then you can point to attacks after the April 2019 attack at Bagram that were similar, including a suicide raid in December 2019. So the question that rose to us was, why is it that this April 2019 attack is supposedly different or significant or stands out somehow from the string of attacks that are all very similar on Bagram? It's the same actors doing it, the same style of attack, and it's the same target repeatedly throughout more than a decade. So why is it that this attack stood out? And there weren't any good answers along those lines. So I think that's part of the reason why this ultimately what came out from the White House this last week was that the intelligence on this was low to moderate confidence. Now, you think about the war in Afghanistan and just the ridiculously overwhelming amount of intelligence flowing out of that war and how much of it is low to moderate. Why is it that this reporting, which they couldn't verify and confirm, but was given only low to moderate confidence, why is it that this reporting stood out in the middle of 2020 in an election year in which the President of the United States accused of being a Russian asset and all this other stuff that didn't pan out? And I think the answer is very simple. It's because of the Russian angle, and that's something that the media and a lot of intel types were hot to trot on, especially in the era of Trump. And, of course, none of it actually added up to anything.
Gentlemen, I want to give you an opportunity to comment just briefly, 30 seconds, 40 seconds each, about the decision to leave on September 11th all American military personnel. Bill, I'll start with you. I stumble because we know a great part of our commitment to Afghanistan and Iraq is not military personnel, it's contractors. Do we know, will the contractors, hired guns, will they believe it?
It's a good question. We don't know the answer to that. I suspect some that require the U.S. presence to maintain their security, those that are working on U.S. bases probably will leave. The question we don't know is those that are, say, working with NGOs and other working with Afghans, working right. with, you know, other logistic companies. We don't know about them, but what we do know is it will become much, much more dangerous for them to stay in Afghanistan. And if they have to leave, it's going to be much, much more difficult for them to do so.
And Tom, you agree with this, that the contractors, we don't know their fate. We have 20 seconds.
We don't know their fate. We do know that Jake Sullivan, a security advisor, said that the only military presence that will remain will be that to protect the U.S. embassy. And, of course, the big concern here is that there's a Saigon moment coming.
Tom Jocelyn, Bill Rajo, The Long War Journal. I'm John Batchelor.